a good way of looking at that. But it makes it all very complicated. And please bear with me. We're not going there. We are not getting too complicated with it. It's just simply finding an answer. What does it mean when we talk about loving the Lord with all our soul? If you go back to the scripture that we heard this morning, then we have a very interesting definition of soul. When we read the Psalms, we have to always understand that Psalms is poetry. And most of your translations is even written in, or somehow it printed differently, that you know this is poetry. And poetry is a certain art form, you know, how to express your thoughts. You know, we have rhymes, we have rhythms, and all different ways how we can express poetry. And every time we are sitting down and express poetry, then we put some work into our thinking. And for me, that's always something that challenges me to read it very carefully, because somebody sat down and not just scribbled something down there, but somebody really put some thoughts into this. And as he was thinking, or she was thinking, they put this down in some way that is artful. And the Psalms are also poetry, and the Hebrew poetry was a little bit different than our poetry. And I don't want to bore you with this, but it might help you to read the Psalms and some other biblical poetry. One way how they created poetry was what we would call parallelism. Parallelism. They take one sentence, express a truth, and then they take the next sentence and express the same truth in different words. And you may find that just by observing the Psalms, that often happens. You know, they repeat the same thing with different words. And that's actually one art form of poetry, parallelism. And that also then would help us sometimes to explain, or they explain more in detail what that means. And this is not just this simple thing. It can become very complicated, this kind of parallelism. So it's an art form. So anytime we read the Psalms, I would ask you, take your time. Somebody put a lot of thought into this, to write down this prayer. And here we have the same in this Psalm. And if you just take the first verse that we have heard this morning and have this in mind, that parallelism is the way how they expressed it, then we have actually a definition of soul, how they in general understood soul. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. And it's actually artful parallelism. You know, praise the Lord, O my soul, and then he can take an X. It's an X form, is another word for that, but it's an X, you know, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Goes to the beginning. A, B, B, A. It's art. Read the Bible as something very special. It's for me something. The Bible is not just a book. It's really something where people express great thoughts and thinking inspired by God that helps us to understand who God is. And here we have a very helpful way to look at this. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. So soul is all that is within me. And that's how most of the time the word soul is used in the New and Old Testament. All that is within me. All the faculties that are dwelling in me that make me who I am and with which I express myself and all that is within me now. So praise his holy name. So it's not my external actions alone, but all that dwells in me. Praise his name. So when we talk about soul, then this is what we would like to go to this morning. That this is describing all that I have in me. All my internal me is supposed to love the Lord my God, with all that I have. So the next question is then, how do I love the Lord now with all my soul? How am I going to do that? What's the way of loving God with my soul? So before we answer that question, we also have to answer another question that we may not have even asked. But it's a question, what's the thing that we need to be remembered of? And that is the simple fact that our love to God has always the character of response. Our love to God has always the character of response. We respond to God, to his love that he had for us. And that is truth throughout the Old, and New Testament. Our love is not something that we muster up in ourselves, and then we bring it to God, and we search for God and look for him. It's always response, because God has loved us first. That's how the Apostle John writes it in one of his letters. said, this is how God has showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice to our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So when we talk about us loving God, then our love to God is always a response. God loved us first. And that starts all the way back with creation. The Bible relates it to this kind of context and says God created heaven and earth. And his creation was one way of self-revelation, of revealing himself to us. And I don't want to get too complicated this morning, but if we believe that God is content with himself, that he doesn't need anyone and nothing to fulfill him, to make him complete, then we do have to ask this question, then why does he create something? But we, without really being able to answer all these questions, you know, but one of the things is that God did it because one of the answers would be he expressed his love. It's one of his expressions that with which he wanted to express his love to us and his glory, his wonderful glory to us. That we look at creation and by looking at it, see the Creator and say, wow, he is awesome. That one must be wonderful. And as we study creation, we will come to the point to marvel at the Creator. And what unfortunately often happens that we get stuck with the creation. And know that we marvel at creation, but don't look past that and see he is the Creator. He made all of this. He is the God that we are supposed to look at and marvel at. Look at this morning when you see the sunshine and the weather is great, that we not just marvel at the wonderful sun or the sunrise, but see the one who created this and say, God, you're awesome. I know this morning when I came to church, it wasn't that early, that the sun just came up over the horizon and then it was all red. And I couldn't help but say, man, awesome, God, you are just awesome. You could have made it so plain and simple, but you made it so wonderful. That with all the physics that happens and chemistry that happens, it glows red. And we look at this and we just see the sunrise and our hearts are lifted up. See, and the whole purpose of that is that God wants to evoke in us that we love him. Love is a response. And then we can move on from there. But I think it's a very important thing to understand. Our love for God. If God tells you and me, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, then he doesn't say that you muster up all that you have in us and try to come up with some form of which is called love, but that he only says, just respond to what I'm doing. Just open your eyes, see who I am, experience who I am, and then out of that, all I want from you is your love. Isn't it so easy how God makes it so easy? I had to think about this too. I mean, if we ask, you know, God, what do you want from me? Instead of a whole long list, he would summarize it, Jesus summarized it with one sentence, love him, love him. See, and this love has to come from within me, within me. And that's why we are with this soul. It has to come from within me. It's not mechanical. It's not that I do something mechanically and just say, oh, I'll do this and that, you know, all this and that, and I'll show you your love. And if I do it with my wife, she would probably tell me pretty soon, you know, there's something wrong with you. Love is more than just mechanically going through the motions. There's something involved in us. Or if you would see, look at a nurse. A nurse usually cares for people, cares for the patients. But I think it would be too far to say that a nurse loves deeply every single patient. You know, it's different. He or she would not love a patient as she or loves her husband or her wife or his wife. There's something more than that when that's going through the motion. And oftentimes our love for God can be just that. We go through the motions. We keep the commandments, which is important, but we just go through the motions. Love God is something that in our hearts need to be awakened. And one way how that starts is if we expose ourselves to the love of God. That's how it starts. Expose yourself to the love of God. And here we have our first answer, how we love God with all our soul. First thing is by contemplating God's love for us. Contemplate God's love for you. See, that's exactly what the author of this psalm does. He sits down in a very poetic way, expresses what he finds out when he thinks about the love of God. He says it this way. Read the verses again. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And then he goes through verse by verse and describes the wonderful love that God has for us. And that doesn't happen just by accidentally. It's sitting down, taking your time, and just start contemplating how God has shown his love for me. That would be the first start to love God with my soul, that I take the time to think about the love that he has for me. And I have to admit, this is not always easy and straightforward. Because sometimes we do go through difficult times. And those difficult times can be very long. And we may end up with more questions than warm feelings about God. And although this is not the topic this morning, it might be another time that we have to talk about this. But it is this kind of understanding that God wants nothing more than for you and for me to see how desperately he loves you. And it might take sometimes pain and suffering that we redirect our attention to the one who really loves us instead of loving the things that he blesses us. And I know this may be a little bit too much to swallow right now, but this is often the way how we can process them. But if we read the Bible carefully, we cannot help but find a God who, I would almost say, he goes, you know, on his feet and is desperately wants us to love him, but we are so caught up in our little world of things, of stuff that we want, and when this doesn't go right, and the people that we want to love, and the things that are not the way they are, and we are so caught up in this, and he stands and says, oh, if you could just see how much I love you, and all I want is that you enjoy me, and not the things. Yes, there are blessings. But in the end, it's about God himself, that we enjoy God forever. I mean, this is the core of love. I mean, you have those who are married, you know, you are not loving the person because this person gives you something, what you need. That would, I mean, if this is the base of your marriage, come to marriage counseling. You have needs, your friend. But you love the person because for the person that he or she is. That's what you love. Not just the benefits that you get out of it if you have a sugar mama or sugar daddy. You know. Unfortunately, that's often marriages, you know, that we get something out of that. But if it's healthy, you love the person. And that's what God wants for you. He wants to love him. And sometimes there is no other way that God can use to get, or that God was able to use to get through to us than through pain. But he wants us to love him. And to see that above all, God is desperate to bless you, to give you the best that he has. And he showed it in the Old Testament and New Testament by giving his son, Jesus Christ. And that's when we start contemplating these things. He gave us Jesus, his best, his one and only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He wants us, he wants you to have eternal kind of life. And he did whatever he could, the best of the best, that you can get it. And don't be caught up with the here and now and the little things that are so vain and so short-lived. Take time to sit down and expose yourself to this kind of God. Take a Bible text, if you can't remember anything about from yourself, and look what the Bible text says about God. And then think about your life. I mean, how many things are really blessings from God that you experience? Where you can say, God, it's awesome. And it takes time to think about it. Secondly, how can we love God? The next step would probably be then also find ways to express it. Love needs expression. You need to express what's going on in your heart. At some point of time, you had to break it to the one that you love that you want to marry this person. You know, otherwise there would be just this romantic love that some books write about, you know, that just go on in your heart and you don't have the guts to share. But that's not right. Something is wrong. So when you love God and really love wells up in you, then find ways to express it. And sometimes by just sitting down and express it in words, words of affirmation, of adoration, of worship. That's what we call worship. Worship, and again, is response. Worship is not something that we come up with and have to think of ways how we can worship God. Worship is response. We worship Him in response to what He did and what He does. Otherwise, it's not valid. It's so hard, but it's true. It's not valid. Worship is responding to God. If there's nothing in you that responds to His greatness, then worship is just words. But there's something in you that I express it. And the Psalms are full of examples how people in the Old and New Testament, especially in the Old Testament, did that. They expressed it in what we call Psalms. I often challenge you, just write your own song. Write it down. God, You are wonderful. How You led me through this situation. And the best way is sometimes in some of the Psalms, and they shared with the assembly of others, where they told others, you know what God did to me? It's just awesome. Share it with your spouse. It's a good way to talk if you haven't talked for a while. Talk about what God had done in your life. Things that you really appreciate about God. Things where you really feel like that God is blessing you. And that might lead to good conversation with one another and to worship and prayer even together. And then lastly, let's love God with all that we do. We will highlight some of the things next week and the week after more in detail. But loving the Lord with all your soul is not just contemplating the love of God that it sinks in, because love is response. I need to start somewhere, and that's where it starts. And let Him touch your heart and touch your soul. Let it be warmed up to Him and His love, and you start expressing this, find ways how you say it, but then also how you do it. That love then also expressed in ways what you do for Him and in response to Him, that you do certain steps and certain ways how you express your love. Jesus even summarizes very simply. He said, if you love Me, you will keep My commands. It sounds not very harsh, but it's so simple. It's true. If you love someone, you do what the other one wants. Otherwise, it's quirky love, I would say. You love, you express your love what you do by what you practically do. How you love God is what you do that honors Him, that lifts Him up, that praises Him, that gives Him glory, that gives Him honor, that others not thinking of what kind of weird God do you serve. No, this God is somebody that deserves my best. That how I respond to His word is my practical way of expressing His love. Love the Lord with your soul, but how you feel, how you believe, how you think, how you choose, how you want, what you dwell on, where you turn to, what you pursue. Let this be permeated by His love. That eventually your life becomes this expression of His, your life. If the soul is everything in me, then my whole life is in response, is also that expression of how I love Him. How I conduct my life. How I make decisions. How I relate to other people. It's the way how God honors Him. By the way, that's how the Bible connects that. You know, we will come to that at some point of time down the road. You know, when He says in the next commandment is same to the other one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why is this so connected? Because this is God. God loves us. God loves the other person. And if I love Him, I will also love what He loves. John is the one who spends a whole book on this, 1 John. You know, this whole connection of loving God and loving the neighbor. And that has to be connected. If it's disconnected, it will not work. It has to root in this loving God. Love the Lord with all your soul. The Message expresses this way. Oh, my soul, bless God from head to toe. I will bless His holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. Let's bless Him and lift God up from head to toe. That my whole body and my whole life, everything in me is connected in this. And how do I start? I would just suggest, take time this week. Maybe you drive from A to B. And it's often a boring time. But in your mind, as you drive, not to be distracted, but that you take your time and say, God, I'm so thankful. And then list the things that God has revealed to you, even in hard times. To remember the good. To remember His faithfulness, His blessing. And what astonishes me often when I am going through hard times is to come back to the truth that it doesn't, and it sounds not very dim, but it doesn't really affect Him. He is not mad at me because I'm mad at Him. How thankful I am for that. I'm always come back and He comes and overwhelms me with His love. And when I mess it up and bring shame to His name and I come back, He's the first who runs at me, takes me in His arms and says, glad you're back. Love you. Love to have you here. Come, let's go have a party. There's stories in the Bible that tell those stories. Let the actions of God warm your heart. Let what God is doing and has done warm your heart. And that doesn't happen always automatically. It takes time. Make this time this week. Make this time this week to sit down and say, God, I want to just list what you do. And then find ways how you express it. It flows over and I can make a bet with you. If you do this and really love wells up in you, you cannot help but express it. Say it somewhere. Bring it into words, maybe into some actions, that your soul becomes alive, because your soul is known by your act. Your soul is known by what you do. That's how the inside comes up. Let's pray. Father, we are so blessed that we serve a God who loves us. We're so blessed that we are not here, that we have to pump up everything we have and muster our strength and muster all of what's in us to love you. We just simply have to expose ourselves to you and think about you, open our hearts to you, our minds to you, and then we understand that we were pursued by your love from early times on. Your love literally pursues us, chases after us. And Father, forgive us when we are so distracted by our own wants and wishes, even with earthly things that we are so in love with sometimes, that we just preoccupied with all of that, that we cannot see you, that we cannot see your heart behind all of this. Forgive us, Father. Let us see you, that you are the one who pursues us with powerful love, and that you want nothing more than us enjoying you forever. Living in your presence, that's what our destiny is. That's what we aim for. That's what we live for, that we live in your presence. But in the meantime, as we live our life here on earth, Father, help us to come to those moments when your love evokes in us everything that is in us, to love you back. And this week, Father, we pray for the grace that our hearts may be quieted at some point of time, that we can look into your face and take some time to meditate on your love. Think about your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your pursuing love that pursued us in our lives in so many ways and forms. And find our rest and peace in you, and that we cannot help but express your love back to you. Help us, Father. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.